A-G, drag. He fingerspelled it all, except he used one sign for each word. Let's try to see it again and see if you can catch on. Okay, that's the D. Like that. Here's the R. That means ready. Here's the A. And that's the race. And here's the G. And that means gone, zoom, taking off. Okay, let's do it fast again. Okay, do you know one, Libby? What's the word? You caught on. Yeah, it's Ford. She said the word Ford. Do it slow. The F, the eyes looking around. The O, there's nothing. The R, ready. The D, taking off. Do you have another one, Dick? Yes, yes, I see the heads nodding. It was dual. Fantastic, you're quick learners here. Okay, here's one. Football. Let's see that one again. Golf. Golf. She fingerspelled golf. You have to watch carefully. Does anyone know a quick one? Any one of you people? Maybe four letters? Whoops, a nice four-letter one. Okay. I think maybe we can move on to a longer one. Butterfly. It's good. Good. Again. Okay, let's do it again. Here's the bee. Crawling along. U, crawling up the tree. T, still crawling. E, eating. R, hanging. F, L, Y, flying away. And there it goes. Wow. Hey, that was a good trick. Okay. If you're clapping, remember, we can't see you. Well, we can't see you clapping down there, and we can't hear you, so you have to clap up here, and then we'll know it. Okay. Okay, reflections. It's a reflection of the other hand. Reflection. Okay, one more. I learned something new yesterday. When I was growing up, I'd seen deaf people do this. For coffee. Just like that. And I wondered where that came from. And then somebody told me yesterday. It really should be like this, C-O-F-F-E-E, 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 coffee. The sign for coffee is like this, okay? Now that we're all primed and ready for a long one, let's have a long ABC story. I want you to watch Dick do it. He's first, just hang on a second. He'll give you the action, and I want you to tell me what's going on afterwards. It's from A to Z, remember that. I think so. If I get stuck, give me a word. Did you understand? Huh? It's a horse race. A horse race. But you can see, did you see each letter? Some of you caught it, I guess. Okay, let's have you do it a little bit slower and we'll tell what's happening. Okay, A, riding the horse. B, the cap brim, pulling down the cap. C, putting down the goggles. D, my heart's pounding. E, I'm biting my nails, I'm nervous. F, I'm looking. G, gulp. H, I'm in a hurry. I, I'm imagining what can happen. J, I'm looking around the turn of the track. K, I'm looking over to see the starting gun, the letter L. M, the gate's open. N, the horses take off. They're galloping. O, people are watching from the stands with binoculars. P, the people. Q, the mouths drop open as they watch. R, the cigars fall out when the mouths drop open. S, hooray. T, past the finish line. U, people stare. V, people are looking. Worry, anxiety for W. X, I'm not worried. Y, the trophy. And Z, fantastic. Okay, you want to see it again fast? One more time? Okay.
A, knocking on the door. B,
A, knocking on the door.
C, looking around.
C, looking around.
D, I hear something.
D, I hear something.
E, it's a scream.
E, it's a scream. E.
F,
investigating.
G,
it's the queen.
H,
she's lying down.
I,
hey, wait just a minute. We can't do that one. Why not? Well, this is a family show.
Shucks.
It's a good one. Hey, we do have those kind. Yes, and they're very funny. They're very graphic, too. But we can't do it here. Okay, what's next? Okay. We're going to do some puns. We're trying to collect a lot of different puns. Come on up here. Do you know the sign for understand? Understand, many of you think. Many people sign it that way, understand. That's wonderful. What about you? Do you have another sign? How about this one? What does that mean? Just a little bit. You understand just a little bit? You're using your small finger, so you understand a little bit. It's a play on signs. How about you? Here's one. Under. Okay. This is a sign for stand. The legs, they can walk, they're standing there. Now, it's understand, it's underneath. Okay, let's have another one. What's that one? Underwear. Oh, I told you this is a family show. Underwear, hey, okay. The one about milk? Okay, let's see if they get that one. Sign language for milk, and then what's this? It's past your eyes, the milk. Wow. Too many things to understand that one. Past your eyes. Sounds like pasteurized. So when you combine the sign and the sound, that's one of the puns we have. It's a different category. Yesterday we learned this one. It's in Texas. That's a hint. El Paso, fine, okay? Okay, what about bowlers? Why do they love the game? You never thought about it? How do you pick up your ball? Just like this. And I love you. Okay? There are some people who love to fly, too. Why do people love to fly? Well, there it is again, of course. Another one. There were 10 birds sitting on a wire, on a telephone wire. And one man was walking along, looked up, and shot. 9 birds flew away. There was one bird sitting on the wire. Why? Hey, she got it. She got it. Why? Because the bird is deaf. Of course. That's good. How did you know? Your friend told you. Uh-huh. Those older kids, and deaf people sure do love that one. I got a new one from yesterday. 3 nice nuns started to go up to heaven when they met Peter. Saint Peter asked them, if you never tell a lie on earth, then you can keep on going up. So the 2 nuns, 2 of them, went up, and 1 was left. And the 2 nuns thought, I wonder why she was left there. What did the other nun do? What would you guess? What do you think happened? Because the nun is deaf. That means she never told a lie, right? Well, oh, that's a bad one. Okay. We also have sign stories with numbers. We do our numbers on one hand, not with 2 hands. We don't do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 with 2 hands. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And so forth. Okay, we'll show you one with numbers. How many? 1 to 6. 1 to 6. Good. 1, thirsty. 2, looking around for the water. You spot it. 3, you turn on the faucet. 4, the water's coming out. 5, you drink it. And 6, water. Are there any more that you all want to share with us? Puns, stories that you all have? Is there one over here? Okay, here's one. Misunderstand. Hey, are there any more? This one? Over the weekend. Do you know that one? How about this one? Ears with the S, Sears. How about this one? Year. This one? Tear. How about any others? Okay, there's one with an L and a K, done like this. The I's are the O's, the L, the K. Look, and here's, you eat, it's noon. Here's wow, with the O as the mouth. Here's Bob. I have one. What was that one? Bobby. B O B B Y. Bobby. Do that one again. Oh, there's a good one. Hey, hey. Here's the eyes checking it out. Okay, yo-yo. I'll tell you a little bit about some things that happen to deaf people because of misunderstandings, maybe misconceptions or whatever, because of their handicap. You know what is HC handicap? Some of you take off your glasses and you can't see. Is that a handicap? What happened at one airport when the person boarding the plane, the passenger, meets the ticket taker? The passenger is deaf. Okay, what time is it, please? Okay. We'll do one more skit, and then after that, you're all welcome to ask us any questions that you may have about deafness, how it feels to be deaf, or hearing, or whatever. Are there kids here? All the kids we'd appreciate in this one skit. It's called Blowing Out the Candle. All the kids will appreciate it. Wow, that's good exercise for your mouth. Okay. We're happy that you're here to share a little bit of our deaf world. It's all basically the same, all of us. We have our same needs. We need to be happy, we cry, we suffer, and all those things. But what makes us different is our sign language. I want to warn you, deafness is not contagious, but sign language is. And I hope that you all will catch it. Over in the small tent, we have some things that you can get a taste of later. And maybe we'll meet you all on the street someday, too, and say, how are you? Okay, anyway, here's Joe. Fine, we have time.
Jan will answer a few questions. Before we run out of time, are there any questions? Or would any of our deaf visitors like to share some of their own stories and jokes? Are there questions? About sign language? About life, about schools, about theater. Well, then let's all thank Jan DeLapp very, very much for this performance. I have a couple of announcements. First of all, the next program in this tent will begin at 2 o'clock. And it will be a workshop in which several of our participants will join in talking about legends of the deaf community. We'll have some storytelling up here on the stage. Next, if you want to accept Jan's invitation and start learning sign language, at 3 o'clock on this stage we'll have a lesson, introductory lesson, in American Sign Language. For our deaf visitors, we urge you to share your own experiences with us and also with Gallaudet College's archives. There's a television crew from Gallaudet in our other tent right across the way, and we would very much appreciate it if our deaf visitors would go over there and let us interview you for the archives. It's not a hard thing. You don't have to put on a big show, but we would love to interview you and get some of your stories on record for the college archives and also for the archives of the Smithsonian. An important announcement. There's a lost little girl in the administration trailer. Her name is Sue. She is small. She has red hair and hair ribbons. So if you have lost a little Sue, she's in the administration trailer over in the other area. And finally, if you have any friends who are deaf and visually impaired, we have a volunteer interpreter who called me up this morning and said she would be happy to interpret for deaf-blind visitors to the festival. So if you get in touch with me or any other staff person in this area, we'll be happy to make the contact between your friend and our interpreter if your friend would like to visit the festival tomorrow or over the weekend. Thank you all very, very much. We're going to begin our workshop in just 2 minutes. In 2 minutes, we're going to start a workshop called Legends in the Deaf Community. We'll be telling stories. 2 more minutes, thanks. Thank you. I'm sorry about the delay. We finally got all our personnel together, and we're going to start our workshop. The workshop today is going to be called Legends in the Deaf Community. And our participants up here on the stage will be sharing with you some of the stories that they know about legendary people in the deaf community, heroes in the deaf community, ordinary deaf people who have experiences that are important for other people to know about. We'll be talking here and signing here until about 2:45. Okay, I'll begin now by asking each of our participants to introduce himself, to tell you his name, where he comes from, and what his job is. And after that, I'll ask a few questions. They'll tell a few stories to get you all warmed up, and then we'll open it up for questions from the audience, too. But if you have a question at any time, or if you have something you want to ask or add, raise your hand. Catch our eye. We'll be happy to have you participate. This is for you to meet and discuss things with our participants. Okay? Let's begin. Bill, would you introduce yourself?
Thank you, Joe. My name is Bill. I have a difficulty because Charlie's here. Anyway, Ennis. And I live in Greenbelt, Maryland. I work over there in the United States Department of Agriculture as a programmer. Hi, my name is Debbie Sonnenstrahl. It's really a long name. And I really come from Baltimore, Maryland, but now I live in Washington, D.C., in the Smithsonian's backyard, right over there. But I work at Gallaudet this way, and I work as director of the Office of Fine Arts in Education, in which I work with museums all over the country, helping them to become more sensitive to our needs. Hi, I'm Jack Gannon, and like Debbie, I work at Gallaudet College. I'm director of the Alumni Public Relations, and I live in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Thank you all very much. I'd like to begin with a topic that I think is most astonishing to hearing people who haven't known deaf people before. And in my experience, it's a topic that is a source of great pride and justifiable pride for the deaf community. And that is the creativity and inventiveness of deaf people. You know, it takes a lot to get as far as all these people have gotten in the world and not to be bothered by the fact that a lot of people assume that you can hear. And deaf people have invented a lot of things not only for themselves, but also for the world in the large, really. So I'd like to start out by asking each of our participants if he has a story that he'd like to share about somebody deaf who created something or invented something, and give you an idea of what these traditional stories are like in the deaf community. Jack, would you like to begin?
Fine. Can you hear him? No. Okay, I want to tell you about John Gregg, invented the Gregg shorthand system that many secretaries use today. You know that? Deaf man was raised in England. When he was a young boy, he was in school, and he was whispering to his classmate, and the teacher didn't like that, and went behind him and whacked him in their heads together. And as a result of that, it broke his eardrums, and he was hearing impaired for the rest of his life. He later moved to the United States and settled in Chicago, where he developed his shorthand system and became very successful. He also started a business school, and he got an honorary degree for his work in that area. He was a hearing impaired deaf person.
Thank you.
I have two stories to share with you, and I can't make up my mind which one I should tell first. He told about an inventor. I think I'll change that into a legend because it's part of you, too. How many of you have ever seen Lincoln, the Lincoln Memorial over there? A lot of you? Beautiful. Now, you know that our President Lincoln is sitting on a big sculptured throne seat. And in order to go up, you have to walk up to the steps, right? Now, how many of you ever noticed his hands? Anything special about his hands? Right, right. What was it? One says L. L-A. Well, look at his hands very carefully. You'll notice that on one hand, his right hand is closed like that, but his left hand is a little bit open like that. Oh, I'm sorry we don't have the pictures. What happened to our pictures of the alphabet?
We were afraid of the rain.
Oh, the rain.
Sorry.
In our deaf sign language, the alphabet is which the alphabet is part. You notice that A is made this way, and look at Abraham Lincoln's right hand. It's like that, resting on the arm of the chair, and his left hand is open like this. So it represents the first letters of his name, and deaf people were thrilled because the sculptor who did that work also did the Gallaudet College sculpture, too. Same sculpture, Mr. French. So we deaf people asked each other, Mr. French is deaf, knows our language, but I hate to throw a wet towel on this and say, no, it was a happy accident. You know what happened? That day when President Lincoln posed for his portrait, he shook hands with so many people that day that, oh, no, no. Wait, I'm wrong. His right hand is L and his left hand is A. Okay. He couldn't close his right hand. That's it. Oh, I messed that up. You understand me? Couldn't close it because he shook so many hands that day. His hand became swollen, so it couldn't close it.
Thank you.
Is that a true story? Well, it's a nice legend anyway.
That's folklore.
it's a real privilege that I can sit on the stage with these two people. One wrote a famous book, Heritage of Deaf, and the other is my former art teacher. I'm sure she'll speak all about art. And you're talking about inventors. There are several I could mention, but there's one in our day. And it doesn't mean I'm that old now. I'm young. Well, yeah, saying that I taught you makes me look old. His name is Jack. Jack? Wait. Francis is the first name. And Jancic, I think. About 25 or 30 years old. And he's the one who invented the hook. It looks so simple. Such a simple tool. But it can be used to carry mattresses, plywood sheets, by one man using this, or woman. But now I understand, as Jack said, that Heckinger's has contracted to sell that hook. So it's something we're really proud of.
Thank you very much. The reason I began with Jack Gannon here is indeed because I know that his mind is a treasure house of stories about deaf history. That is because he's just finished writing this book, Deaf Heritage, which Bill just mentioned, which is also on sale in our craft sales tent on the other side of that trailer over there, if you're interested in buying it. Jack, I noticed that you had a section of the book on deaf humor. It's a little bit unusual in a history book to have humor be a separate chapter about a culture group. And I wonder if I could just throw out a question about the importance of humor to the deaf community, if that rings any bells.
Well, first I know that deaf people like to laugh, right? Yeah, shoo. I just said, yeah. And there are many funny stories about deafness, deaf people. So I think it's very natural that we include some humorous stories in the book. Do you want to hear one?
Sure.
Just limit to one. Have you heard the story about the man who, deaf man who checked into the hotel and had to get up very early in the morning? He was worried, afraid that he would oversleep and miss the plane. So worried, he went up to the hotel clerk, took out his pad and pencil and explained that I'm deaf and I need to get up very early in the morning. Can you help? And the clerk said, sure, don't worry. So he was relieved and he went to the elevator, ready to go up to his room, but on the way he stopped and thought something's funny, something is wrong. So he turned around and went back and he said, you said you'd wake me up in the morning? He said, yeah, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. He said, but how will you wake me up? And the clerk's pointed to what? The telephone. Fine way to wake up a deaf person with a telephone, right? So I wrote again, but I just told you that I am deaf. What good is a telephone? He said, oh, that's right. I didn't think of that. Well, don't worry. I'll fix it. I'll write a note and put it under the door. Oh, God.
That's a situation that calls for a lot of everyday creativity anyway, isn't it? Getting up early in the morning at a hotel. Bill, didn't you say you had an experience with that once? Do you want to share your experience?
Yeah. Well, I remember 2 or 3 years ago going to Alabama for Deaf regional basketball tournament. And all of us boys shared the same room, I think. And that night, we won the championship, and then the guys decided to go home early by driving, and I was the only one who was going to fly back home the next morning at 7 a.m. So I had no one to help wake me up in the morning to catch this plane. I thought I would go down to the front desk and ask the man if he could wake me up. And the man said, yeah, nodded, and seemed to be no problem, but I wanted to make sure, and I asked him again. He said, how will you wake me up? He pointed to the telephone, just as you say, and I said, no. When I was talking to the man, I was writing on a, you know, with pencil and pad. I wasn't using my voice, and he kept saying, the telephone. So I said, oh, I can't. I have to have someone to wake me up. He said, oh, okay, you're deaf. Well, we have an alarm in your bedroom. It'll wake you up. An alarm? And I, where is this alarm? He said, well, here's the bed and everything, and I couldn't figure out exactly where it was. So finally the man was willing to get somebody to take his place and go up with me to the room and look at it. And I pointed to where it was in the room, and it was way over on the wall. On the wall. And the man dialed the phone. He said, go over, feel the wall, feel the wall. So he dialed, and he told the man downstairs to turn on the alarm. I felt it, and it was ringing. Not much, but the bed was way over there. The alarm bell. The alarm on the wall was way over there. How could I possibly sleep on the bed and put my foot over there? Wasn't possible. I can't. So the man said, I have to do something. That deaf people have to give up their privacy, you know. So I told him, do you not mind if you personally come in the morning and wake me up? And he's a stranger, you know. He said, well, okay. Without hesitation, he seemed, okay, no problem, sure. So, okay. See you in the morning. And I went to bed. Felt this tapping. Oh, when I finally woke up, there was a stranger in my room. What's going on? The boy said, good morning. It's time to get up. And I thought, oh, yeah, forgot about that guy. Wake me up, okay. Hurried and got dressed and packed my suitcase and went down the elevator, running out, imagining that I wanted to, have to get a taxi and hurry up. And I saw the same guy that woke me up standing there saying, oh, come here. And he followed him, wondering what was going on. And there was a car ready, waiting for him. I thought, oh, what's that? He goes, you're going to the airport? I said, yeah. So there it was. What a nice treat. I got a ride straight to the airport. Over there are displays of alarm clocks, as you know, and one of them is missing. Did you know that?
Which one?
Well, it should have a bottle of water, you know.
I know, but you're going to have to explain that.
She knows. She doesn't know. He misunderstood you. There's another one called water. It's called a human alarm clock. If you have no other method, drink a lot of water before you go to bed.
That's good for blackouts. Does anyone, either any of our participants or anyone in the audience, want to share a story or an experience about having to get up in the morning? Has anybody been in that situation? Tom? I'd like to introduce Tom Fields. You may have seen his models. He made several of the devices on display in our other tent, and he is himself a deaf architect who works for the National Park Service.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. One of the devices I don't have here, the vibrator, when the clock goes off, the vibrators shake and wake the people up. But with my experience, two different experiences. One, many years ago, my deaf brother forgot to turn off the vibrator. And the vibrator went on and on. Finally, the bed got fire and damaged about $7,000 for the furniture, part of the house, just because of the vibrator. So sometimes you can consider that being deaf is hazardous. Another experience I had with the vibrator is it happened to me when I was in college. I studied down for 5 o'clock in the morning, and I set the clock for 6:30. Then, at 6:30, the clock went off, and the vibrator went on. I didn't wake up. That woke up my roommate. My roommate came, wake up. You tried to break the clock. Wait a minute, don't break my clock. It's a vibrator. That's going on. So I don't have the clock.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else care to share an experience or ask a question at this time? Questions? Okay. Well, let's move on. Yeah. Bill? Okay, go ahead.
I just thought of the kind of signals that we use. I remember that Ely Hall was an old dorm. It's now become the renovated to whatever, what is it called? The student center. Okay. Now, but in the past it was a boys' dorm. And in the morning, someone would try to bang on somebody's room, you know, friend next door, and if a person didn't have a device, like lights blinking or like the old clocks that used to pull, the doorknobs and make have drop and stuff like that.
Do you know how you would know
if they couldn't, they just have to kick on the door. And that's how Ely Hall became very, full vibrating all the time. Echoes. Somebody would be pounding on the door. Five or six rooms would come out, open their door, and say, "What is it?" You know, "No, not you, not you, no, you, not you, not you, no, I want this one." And this one wouldn't answer the door.
Thank you.
Now we know why they renovated the building. He said, "I'm sorry, I missed it." He said, "Now we know why they renovated the building from knocking it down, kicking." I heard a story about a deaf couple, an older deaf couple who had a dog, and they let the dog out. And when the dog wanted to come back in, they had a low window that he could jump up and they'd get their attention. And so they opened the door and let him in instead of barking. I have one legend that I'd like.